Well, I'm going to share something. Probably for some, it might be new. For some, it might be something you already know. But I want to teach a little bit on the subject of faith. But this particular area, and don't tune out, you know, I already know that. But this is in the area of expectation. What are you expecting? And maintaining your expectation. And I know that may be very familiar for some, but faith, you know, if you turn over real quick, your spirit is the real you. That's you know, the real person. You know, the scripture talks about, and Paul talks about, an inward man and an outer man. So this inward man that got born again, that's the real you. But if you go over and look at James chapter 2 and verse 26 or 27, I believe it is. I believe it's verse 26. And it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead," it said, "so faith without works is dead also." So what does that mean? It means that just like if your spirit leaves your body, it ceases to live. But you still live. Your spirit lives because that's the real you. And faith without an action, faith without some corresponding action, that's really what that means. Faith without works is dead also. So you can have faith, but really faith is an action. Faith acts. And that's why when you people, I know Minister Joe here taught for so many years, you know, and some of his specialty is business. And, you know, you could wrap marketing in all with that. But what is that meant to do? You look at society today, and they want to influence you to buy something, right? Go buy this hamburger, this piece of chicken, or this clothes or car, or whatever it is. And they keep putting images in front of you so that you kind of go, yeah, I need that. And what do? You stop looking and you go act. And so they get you to change your what? Your thinking, your opinion, so that you do what? Believe that I need it. And then what do after you believe? You act. You act on what you believe. So faith without an action is dead. So you could sit there and go, yeah, I like that, but you don't do anything. You don't act. Right? So faith without some action is not gonna produce anything. It won't produce anything. So I think this is the area that I want to land on here today. And I use some natural examples that I think will help. It'll help us in this area, because your spirit is the place or the center of you. It's the heart, not your pump, right? Your heart pump. But the heart of man is his spirit. And out of your spirit produces the force or forces that will create things. So out of your spirit, the spirit man, comes the forces, the spiritual forces that create. And that's why it's so important to watch what you listen to, what you believe, what you read, what you watch. Because what you read, what you watch, what you feed on, that came from someone's spirit. And what they believe. So you can see all kinds of stuff on television. You can see stuff that's written. You can see stuff that's, you know, whatever. That came out of somebody's spirit based on something they believed. And that material has a force to it. If you take it in and you feed on it, that has some spiritual way about it where it can begin to affect you, change your thinking. And then you start doing what? You start acting on what you do. That's why I say it's so important. Watch what you read. You know, read, you know, think about the things. What does the scripture say? As a man thinketh, so is he. And so we need to watch, you know, turn a moment. I'm going to land on our lesson this morning, but go over to Joshua in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You know, you want to know how to be successful. God gave Joshua the formula after Moses passed and Joshua took the reins to bring them into the promised land, because he and Caleb were out of those 12 spies, were the only ones that, you know, said, hey, we can go in and do it. Everybody else had a bad report. They saw something and they said, we're just like grasshoppers in their eyes. How'd they know that? So here, God gave Joshua a formula for being a success. And this right here, it says, this book of the law shall not what? Depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So God is showing us here, if you'll meditate on his word, you put his word first, and you start meditating on it and speak it, and you do that what? Day and night, you're going to be prosperous and become successful. Now, you can work a lot of jobs, you can work hard, you can work 2-3 jobs, and work is good. We should work. But that's not going to make you successful, because here's the thing. The principles here of feeding on God's word and speaking is supernatural, and it will open doors that no man can open. And it'll open doors for your success in life. And so that principle is why, you know, when we talk about certain things where the principles of the Word of God are being used by worldly people, that's all they're doing. They're taking the principles of the Word of God. You take a look at motivational speakers. You know, Tony Robbins, for years, he would get people at his meetings. You pay big dollars to go, and he'd get people all pumped up and excited, and he'd say this, believe this, see yourself as success. And I'm thinking, that's all he's doing. He's taking the word of God, and you're paying a lot of money. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm saying this has been bought and paid for. Jesus has given this for free. So we can take these principles and begin to apply them and believe and speak. And that principle will work. That's why when you say, just take simple examples. You've heard it. I've heard it all my life. You heard a person say, they told that lie so much, they believe it. They actually believe it. And I'm thinking, it's a lie. Just because they said it don't make it true, but they believe it. Why? Because they kept saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, and they believed it. So, you know, I remember for me, just didn't know this principle. I didn't know this. And there were things that I said negative. And I got it. Oh, yeah. I spoke stuff negative when I didn't know these principles. And when I look back, I'm like, oof. I ate the fruit of what I was saying. sure enough, because it's a principle, seed time and harvest. What you say is what you're going to reap. So, you know, that's something else to talk about, but this principle here of expectation, you know, our words are key, and faith, I'll just say it this way, faith is voice activated. You know, we have these little devices, you know, we have this, I got a watch, we voice activate them, right? They can sit there, they don't do anything. They're waiting for what? Your command. Tell them what to do. Siri. Oops, I shouldn't do that. It'll wake up. But you get my point, that faith is voice activated. My faith is voice activated. What does that mean? I believe something, but until I speak something, nothing happens. Right? Nothing. You can believe all you want, but if you don't speak what you believe, you get nothing. And you can be sincere. You can love God. You can be sincere. If you don't speak what you believe, you don't initiate something. You don't set it into motion. And so let's look at this for a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4:13. This is Paul writing to the church to Corinth. And, you know, you can look along or whatever translation you're looking at on your phone or device, or you have a Bible with you. I'll read it from the King James, and then I'm going to read it from a couple of other translations. But it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe." Now, he's quoting David from the Psalms here. But, and then it says, "And therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So what you believe, you speak. You know, if you're around people long enough, they'll tell you what they believe. You're around people long enough, they'll speak to you and tell you what they believe. And that's what they believe. You know, you growing up, I don't know, I'm not going to just say, you know, this worldly side, you know, you get around people that get drunk on liquor. When I was growing up, they would tell you what they believe because it came out of their spirit. For sure. Now, I'm not advocating that, but I'm just telling you that that principle holds true. They're not talking out of their head. They're not talking out of their spirit because their head is wasted. Right? You understand my point. So now here, this is the Passion Translation. "We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, and then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith." So you believe, then you speak in faith. This is the Living Bible. It says, "We boldly say what we believe." We boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, "I believe and therefore I speak." And then the Message translation, it says, "We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life, just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it." We say what we believe. So, you know, I just say this, that, you know, when you go through life and you say it's hard, well, that's going to be hard for you. If you say, you know, faith, let's turn over there just so we add a little context to this. Let's go to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And I'll read this in the King James, and they, Sal may put this up on the screen here in the Passion Translation. But in the King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." You know, faith is substance. It's a heavenly spiritual materiality, just like this chair or this floor. Faith has substance, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word hoped for means expectation. So your faith provides the substance, or actually what it means is faith provides the support for what you expect. So like this chair, you go down and you expect to sit in this chair. Why? Because there's a concrete floor. And it supports it. It's the substance of what you hope for. I'm going to hope to sit in this chair and not go through the floor. So faith forms the solid ground. Some translations say it forms the ground, or the solid ground of what I'm expecting. So that's exactly what this translation says. This is the authentic translation. It says, "Now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen actualities." So you don't believe for something you have. Why would you believe for that? You know, people believe for things all the time. They want to have a house, or they want to buy a car. You don't have it yet. And you say, okay, we're believing to do this. And you start doing what? You believe you're going to achieve that, and you start making some moves towards that. People do it all the time. They go to college and they go, I'm going to get a college education. Or I'm going to get a degree. You don't have it yet. And what do? You start moving in that direction. And you start taking classes, and over time, you achieve that, but you didn't have it. What did you do? You acted on something you expected or believed, right? It's the principle. So what do? Faith forms a solid ground for something I expect. So in anything, for my prosperity or my health, that's been paid for. It's part of our covenant where God is concerned. And so I can have faith in something that is God's will. So that's where faith comes from for us. That if I know it's God's will, you know, how could you have faith if I said, I'm going to give money to somebody in here today, and you go, well, sure, I hope it's me. But you couldn't be solidly convinced it is you unless you knew it was my will to walk over to you and give it to you. But we have God's word that says, it's my will for you. And that means I can have faith for that. I can actually believe that God wants me to be blessed. God wants me to be whole and healed. God wants me to prosper. Well, then I can have faith for that. And if I have faith for that, I have confidence. And then what do? I say it. He's blessing me. Just like this morning, you know, when you give, well, it's not like, let's turn over there since we're talking about faith. I'll deviate a second. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and start in verse 6. And I'll just read it from the King James since I have it up on my pad here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "But this I say," now this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and the scriptures were inspired of God. So this says here, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he does what? Purposes in his what? His heart. So this is where your purpose and your faith comes from your heart. As every man purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And some translations say, God loves a cheerful, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in their giving. That's the Amplified. And then it goes on, and God is able to make, who's making it able? God is making able to make all grace abound towards who? You, the giver, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, who is that? That's God. God ministers seed to the sower. He gives us seed to sow. So that's what that means. So it says, and he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and does what? Multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Well, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Better than any stock advisor. So God is saying, I'll increase what you sow, right? You know, I'll just take a little side story here. You know, I like to hear testimonies. Maybe somebody has a good testimony later, they can share it. But the company we use in Nanuet and here for audio, sound, lighting, and all that. So, you know, one day he was upgrading some of our processors on our big arena system, and he was there all day because most of the amplifiers you get today, they're software driven. They have, you know, like your phones, they have GPS and all that. So now there's software that you have to download. You got to maintain them. You got to update them, keep them current, and blah, blah, blah. So he was there doing that for like 6-7 hours. And I come up and I go, man, you're still working on this? He says, yeah, it's time consuming. Anyway, so we got to chatting. And he started telling me that he said he and his wife, and he was talking about his business now. He said, we were not consistent tithers concerning the business. And he said, and they were Christian. And he said, but we made a decision to start tithing off of the income from our business. And this is what he said to me. He said, I can show you my records, and I can go to the month when we started doing that. And he said, my business shot up through the roof, and it's never come down. He said, we're prospering. Like he said, I said, if somebody told me, he said, I wouldn't have believed it. He said, we made a heart choice to start tithing in our business, and it's gone up and it's not come down. So they made a heart choice, and God's honoring his word. He said, I'll multiply the seed sown. So he said, I got so much work now, I can't keep up with it. So it's making those kind of spiritual choices where you go, you know what? I haven't been consistent here. I'm going to be consistent. And God honors his word. That's what Isaiah said. Isaiah 55, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. As the rain cometh down, and water at the earth, and it returns, and it doesn't return. He said, so is my word that goes forth. I'll make sure it comes to pass. So let's go back. I just wanted to share that. So Hebrews 11 is talking about faith and expectation. So let me use this little natural example here this morning. I think it'll help us. in the area of believing and speaking and confessing what you believe. How many here are familiar? You know, you either have a house or you have an apartment. Everybody here knows what a heating and air conditioning unit is. You know, everybody's got some kind of either a central air or you've got a window air conditioner. You got something that will either produce, you know, some, like this unit here will produce heat and cold. Maybe you only have an air conditioner, but you understand the point. And so here, I want to use this example just to show you how faith and goal setting or speaking work. So a heating and air conditioning unit, that heating and air conditioning unit is designed to do one thing and one thing only. That's to respond to some thermostat, and it will sit there and do nothing until the thermostat is set. Now, what is the thermostat? The thermostat is the goal setter. So it's hot in here. I need cold. So you set the goal for it to produce, and it's just sitting there. That unit was engineered to just work and 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 work until it does what? Till it reaches that thermostat setting. It'll run and run and run and run and run and run. So the thermostat is not designed to produce the heat or cold. It's only designed to do what? Set the thermostat. And what? Then the unit responds to the thermostat. So the unit can sit there. You could have the electric plugged in. It's all ready to go. And it does nothing. And you can sit in heat and cold and never set your thermostat. And you get nothing. And so the same principle works. Your spirit man is like that heating and air conditioning unit. It's the heart of the system. It's designed to produce, not the thermostat. Thermostat doesn't produce anything. It just sets the goal. It just sets what you want. But the unit itself is designed to produce. And so what happens here is your spirit man is what's designed to produce. Your spirit is what? The real you. And it's designed to produce what? Produce what? What you set the goal for. What you put in it. So how do you set the goal? What do? We just got done reading it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. What I believe, therefore what? You speak. And that's why it's so important, we're going back to sharing, what you feed on, what you think on, what you believe is what you're going to speak, and what you speak sets the goal. So you can have all of the desire to prosper if you talk, I ain't prospering. It's too hard. This can't work. We can't ever afford to buy a house. We can't afford to live here. You never will. You never will, because now that's like setting the thermostat off. You know, you want it to be hot, and you're setting it to cold. Or you want it to be cold, and you're setting it to hot. You're not talking what you really want. You're talking based on what you see. It's So that's like saying, it's hot in here. It's hot in here. It's hot in here. It's so hot in here. I can't stand it. It's hot in here. Well, dummy, go over to the thermostat and set it. Change the thermostat. So if you don't like what you're living in, change the thermostat. If you don't like what you're, you know, living in, getting, receiving, change the thermostat. You keep talking what you have. And faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, not what you have. So if you want prosperity, if you want health in your body, you've got to talk what you don't have, and what you don't have is something God promised. And I can have confidence for that. So I can have confidence that what? Because I sowed my seed into the kingdom of God, God promised he will multiply it. So I can have confidence for that. And stop putting time frames on it. He just said, I'll multiply it. So that's the key here, that your spirit is the heart, it's the core, it's the center, it's the production center, and you have to set the thermostat. You've got to set the goal of what you expect. What are you expecting when you have it, when it's hot in here? I expect it if the unit's working, and I know it's working, I set it for cool, and I'm expecting it. Because the unit's going to produce the cool. I just set the goal. If I want to prosper, then what do? I give. I don't not give, because he said, I'm going to do what? Multiply your seed sown. Well, I don't want to not give. That'd be foolish. I want to give. So when you say, well, I can't afford to give. No, you can't afford not to give. Give something. Because he said, this is spiritual laws. You see. So here's the other example. That's just one example. Here's another example. When you look at a farmer and a farmer sows seed, he has ground. It's the heart of the earth. It's the earth. It's the production center. It produces what you plant in it. What is the seed? The seed will produce if you do what? Put it in the ground. So what is the seed? The seed is the goal setter. The seed that you plant in the ground is the goal setter. Ask any farmer, what kind of crop you getting? He'll tell you, that's the goal setter. My goal is to get a harvest. And I'm going to have this harvest because why? I planted seed. But you could have seed and not do anything with it. It could sit in the barn, just like that thermostat on the wall could just sit there, and you don't do anything with it. You don't plant it. So what we expect, we have to do what? It's something that I believe, and I speak. And what I speak gets what? Planted in my heart. The word of God gets planted in my heart. And as I meditate on it, what did God give Joshua? Let not this book of the law do what? Depart from out of thy mouth, meditate on it day and night, observe to do it, and you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That's why, you know, God gave us some instructions years ago. This was after Pastor Clinton went to heaven, and we all came together. I know I kept hearing in my heart, $80,000 a week. So we came in together and we were chatting one day, and Pastor Sarah said, yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. Pastor Greg said the same thing. And I said, okay, that's God speaking to us. And so what do? You call in $80,000 a week, not because you have it, because it's what you expect to come. And a lot of times, this is where we miss it in life. We want to prosper. We want to have, you know, houses and homes and cars and all of these things. And I want to have supernatural extra to give into the work of God. How do I get that? I've got to sow, but I've also got to do what? Believe that it's God's will for me to prosper and to do what? Speak it. This is how I got my car. I call it in, speak it, and speak it in. Call it in. When do you wait when you need a car? No. Do you wait until you're homeless, you're out on the street? No, you begin to speak. If you want a house, begin to put that down on paper. Say, we're going to have this. Forget about what you have in the bank. Forget about what you have. What is it that you want? That's the thermostat. I'm setting the goal. This is what I'm going to have. I'm going to have this. And it's God's will that we do what? Prosper. That's 3 John verse 2. I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God desires us, but he gives us some principles on how to operate. And so I'm just using some natural things. I think sometimes, you know, one minister, he's in heaven now, Charles Capps, he talked about when he began to see this in the Word of God. He just shared, he said, you know, I used to like to hunt and fish. And he'd say, you know, inevitably when I went into the woods, I'd get poison ivy. So he said, what did I do? I'd go to the drugstore, get some calamine lotion, put it on my skin. But he said, I kept speaking the Word of God concerning my health. I would speak the word of God that I'm redeemed, Galatians 3:13. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Every tissue, every cell of my body is healed and whole. And he said, I didn't stop speaking the word of God. He didn't change the thermostat. He kept his mouth and he kept meditating in the word of God, but he kept going to the drugstore to get calamine lotion. He didn't want to itch or have the rash. So what did he do? He kept speaking it. And he said, inevitably, every time I go into the woods, I'd get poison ivy. So what do? I go back, get some more calamine lotion and work with that. But I kept speaking the word of God. And then he said, it took about a year for the word to work. Why? Because when you plant seed, it's going to take time to get a harvest. You don't go out and tear the seed up because you don't see something. But he did what he needed to do. He go get the calamine lotion, get that working in his body, but he kept speaking the word. And he said it took about a year of speaking the word, meditating on it. And he said, I could take poison ivy and just strip it right down off the vine, and it never affected my skin. Well, he got a harvest. He got a harvest of healing in his body. But he went and got help. I mean, he went and got the calamine lotion, but he didn't throw his faith away. I think sometimes people come up, they get prayed for, they get some results, and then something happens, and they're like, ah, this didn't work. What? You're changing the thermostat. Keep speaking and meditating on the Word of God. I tell people all the time, Look, if you need to go to the doctor and you need to get some help, people do this all the time. What do? Just a normal example. How many in here have a home and have a mortgage? Right. What did you do? You got some help. You needed to have some assistance to cover that, didn't you? Well, don't just go through life saying, well, we got a 30-year mortgage. No, use your faith and say, we're going to pay that off in 7 years. Why not? That's what? That's a goal set. And then begin to use your faith and say, we're paying that off in 7 years. Stop trying to figure it out. God will give you opportunities to sow. He'll open doors for you to get money. And then what happens? You will pay off that mortgage. That's all we're saying here. Apply it in your everyday life. Why have a mortgage? If you don't want one, if you want one, go at it. But here's where we operate in faith. If you don't operate in this area, what are you going to do when the doctor says, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, there's nothing else we can do? You should have been working your faith all along on the cold, on the sniffle, on something else, right? Speak what you expect. Now, sometimes, you know, we've abused our bodies in some ways. And so we're reaping the results of that. But I'm just saying, work your faith every day. Work it. Speak what you want. Speak what you expect. And don't back off of it. It may take years. It may take who knows how long. But speak what you expect. If you're in covenant with God, then I can expect God to honor his word. That's where I have confidence and faith. I can go to the word of God and say, God, you promised this. And I'm reminding you. You promised this, and I have faith. So I'm expecting if I sow my seed, he said, he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully will reap bountifully. Well, then I can expect to reap. And if he said, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, then I can expect my body to respond. But I have to do what? Let not the word of God concerning healing depart out of my mouth. Even when you go to the doctor, don't put your whole effort and trust in that. And that, well, the doctor said that he may. I'm not going to knock the doctor. They may say that they don't know everything. And so even when I'm going through a process, I'm speaking the word of God. I'm confessing the word of God. I'm expecting to be strong and healthy. And I'm speaking that because that's what I expect. I'm expecting that. And that's what faith does. Faith is the substance of something expected. I'm expecting to receive what I believe. Just like you walking over to that thermostat on the wall, that thermostat does nothing but set the desired temperature. It can't produce the temperature. All it does is set it. Just like the seed putting in the ground, the seed can't produce anything unless it's what? Put in the ground. So I just share this, just going through life, there's certain things. I refuse to say I'm tired. I won't do it. I may say, you know what? I need to rest a little bit. But when you say, I'm tired, your body will start working to make you tired. You will be tired. And that's a tired statement. I'm going to say I'm going to take a nap. But I refuse to say I'm tired. I refuse to say I can't do this. I can't afford this. I'm not going to say that. I won't say it. Set the goal. Set what it is you desire. You may not have the funds to do it, but don't say you can't do it. See, Jesus, all through his ministry, I'm trying to share a lot today here, but all through Jesus' ministry, when people came to him, he said, be it unto you according to your faith. And that meant their faith was saying something. Their faith, think about the woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5. Look at the centurion. They all said something. What did they say? They said what they believed. And they believed something because they had heard about what Jesus was doing. And they expected the same thing. They believed. When the centurion came, what happened? He said, Jesus, come, my servant is healed. He said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come. And he said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just speak the word. Because he understood, he said, I'm under authority. What I tell them to do, they go do. And the woman with the issue of blood, she had heard of Jesus. Now here in that society, she had an issue of blood. She wasn't even supposed to be out. She was considered unclean according to their traditions. So she put her life on the line to even go out in society. So we'll think about that. And she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. That's faith talking. So think about that. She believed the report she heard about Jesus. And she said, I'm going to get that. I'm going to have healing. She spent all her money and was nothing better, it said. But she heard about Jesus and had confidence enough to go out and press through the crowd. And what happened? It says power went out of Jesus. So it's the same thing here in life. Set your goals. Set the goal. You know, Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said that he'd say this. He'd say, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get them all. And I said, absolutely. Set your goals high. If you get half of them, hey, that's half more than you had. So believe God, trust God. And what you're believing and trusting, speak. Say, we're going to do this. We're going to have this. That's why you hear us a lot of times when we say, we're going to, you know, I'm stirred lately. I said, we're going to have the things that were designed. I mean, we have on Blueprint here a youth camp. We're going to have it. We're going to have it. Do we have it now? No, but we will have it. We will have these things. That's the difference that some churches, they talk what they have, not what they desire. Just like here, if it's hot in here and you want it cold, you don't talk about how hot it is. Oh, it's so hot in here. Oh, God, I can't take it anymore. You go over to the thermostat and you set the desired goal. Yeah, you may be going through some hot patches in life. Don't talk about it. Well, if you're gonna say anything, you say, yeah, we're going through it, but God is bringing us through. And we're going over, and we're going over in grand style because God is my Father and I'm in covenant with him. So if you're going to talk, say, okay, yeah, we're going through something, but you may say, yeah, it's hot in here, but you just wait a minute. I'm going over here to set this thermostat, and it's going to cool off. That's the point. Maintain your expectation. Maintain it. Because faith is the substance of things what? Expected and hoped for. I'm done. I could go on for a while, but it's just take these simple things and begin to apply it in life. Begin to apply it right where you are. If you're looking, just talking to one of the youth yesterday. And I said, so what are you doing? Well, I'm looking for a job. And it's hard. It's hard to find a job. Well, it's going to be hard for you. It'll be hard. He's like 17. You go, it's going to be hard. Take some of these principles. If I had known these when I was younger, wouldn't have gone through some of the stuff I went through. Wouldn't have gone through it. Crazy stuff. Right? But now you take what you've learned, and take these principles, start applying them in your life, different things, Yeah. You can have what you say. And say what you want. Say what you have. Say it. Speak it. We're going to have it. And what are you basing that on? You're basing it on your covenant with God. And he's promising it. I'm not just pulling something out. Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he worked these principles because he saw it. He saw from the Word of God. He began to see it. I don't have it in front of me. It'll take a minute or two to get it, but I'll just share a couple of stories. I read his podcasts every day, Faith Food and Health Food. And one story, he talked about how he had excruciating pain. He was hemorrhaging from his body. He said, I was in excruciating pain. He said, I didn't feel like laughing, but I began to laugh. He said, I didn't feel like it. He said, God didn't tell me to laugh. He said, I just decided to laugh at the symptoms. What was he doing? He was setting a goal. He said, God didn't tell me to laugh. God didn't, wasn't thus saith the Lord. He said, as a matter of fact, I didn't feel like it, but I made a choice to. And that's where we have to in life. You might be going through life in its circumstances and you don't feel good about something. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good, but you're in covenant with God. That makes the difference. And you can make a choice at that point and say, I believe God. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She made a choice. She said, I'm going to get that. Did she feel like it? I'm sure not. And so Brother Hagin said he just started to laugh and laugh at the symptoms. And he said, the devil said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. And he began to laugh and speak the word. And he said the symptoms left within a short period of time, like within moments. Then he shared another story. He said he knew this pastor, and he said he was at the age of he was young, very young, in his early 50s. He said he had diabetes, and he had to shoot insulin in his body with a needle. And this is what Brother Hagin said. He said, I told him, he said, when people are with you, I have authority. They're in my sphere. He said, I have authority. And he said, I said to this pastor, when you're with me the next 2 weeks, you won't register high sugar readings. He said, I said that in faith. He said, not because the Lord told me, wasn't a word of knowledge. I just believed it. And he said, I told him, you won't register high sugar readings. And so he said that man was with him for those 2 weeks, and every day he'd test his blood and his sugar. Never registered high sugar readings. And he said to him, I tried to get this into this pastor to believe what I'm teaching. He said, but, you know, while he was with me, I had authority. And I told him, you won't register. And he didn't. And he said, it actually, when he came back, it took a while for his sugar readings to go back up again. And they did. And I think he said on this story, he finally, this pastor grabbed a hold of what he was teaching. But the point is, we can have what we say. What we believe, we speak. What did Jesus did this throughout his whole, this was God manifested in the flesh. He was the Son of God, but what? Philippians 2, he set aside his divine privileges. He became like a man. He was a sinless man. And what did he do throughout his ministry? He spoke to circumstances, right? He spoke to life's circumstances that would what? Get in the way of what God was directing him to do. So it's the same thing here in life. Walk in faith, operate in faith, speak in faith, and don't be moved by life's circumstances. Don't change the thermostat. Don't change the goal. That's what happened to Peter. What did Peter? When he said to Jesus, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. And he said, come. Peter gets out of the boat, and what is he doing? He's walking on the water. Try that in your tub. And so what does it say? He began to look at the winds and the waves, and he began to sink. But he was walking on the water. So, just keep your faith, keep the switch of faith turned on. Speak what you expect, because that's what we do. Faith is actually speaking. Faith is voice activated. Faith speaks what it expects. And so what are you expecting? I don't know about you, but I'm expecting good things. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I hope that helps a little bit, because this is what will get you over in life. You know, people that play basketball, I know Pastor Greg, Lee over here, Deacon Lee was a former basketball player. And so what do? They always go back to what? Basics. Basic principles. Never get away from them. Go back to those basic faith principles, and you will be a success in life. Amen? Amen. I mean, we know these things. It's good to be stirred again. It's good to be stirred and to think about them. And if we need to make adjustments or tweaking, then we do that. Not to, you know, come across like we know more than anybody else. No, we're all learning. We're all tweaking and adjusting things as we go through life. But when we miss it somewhere, we go, oh, you know what? I didn't do that. I got off over here. I started talking about the circumstances. I mean, the Lord is always correcting us. You know, just this morning, I'm waking up, he said, you know, you're talking about this over here. And I go, you're right. So what do? Stop talking about what you're experiencing. Talk about what you desire, what you're expecting. Right? Yeah. It's easy to just get over and start talking about circumstances, isn't it? Especially going to work and the job and all the other stuff that we go through in life, right? And yeah, so we just make some adjustments. Yeah? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's life. It's sustenance for us. And we thank you, Father, that as we meditate in your word and as we speak it and meditate on it, observe to do it, that we will be successful and prosper in life. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, we're just going to take time. I think they've given, when you came in, there's some communion elements. But we never, because we never know who's here, most people that we know, but we always give people an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into their heart, because that's where it all starts. And when we receive eternal life, good works aren't going to get us into heaven. It's going to be eternal life. And as the scripture says, that we're to do what? Confess the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So no matter what we've done, you know, I remember, man, I was living a crazy life, and I remember going to an Assembly of God church, and this went up to greet this pastor, and he looked at me, and he said, "Are you saved?" And I go, "No." And he said, "You want to be?" I said, "Yeah." And I remember just saying a simple prayer with him. And I remember when I got home, you know, I liked working on cars. I had a sports car. And normally I had a very colorful language. I had a four-letter vocabulary. I cursed a lot. And I remember working on my car, and I'm under there doing something. And I went and hit my hand. And normally, just curse words would be coming out. And nothing came out. And I'm like, what happened to me? Because it stopped. I put the wrench down. I'm like, what's going on? Because my spirit inside was just, it was stern. And, you know, I didn't know what happened to me. But, in retrospect, looking back, I'm thinking, I know what happened to me. Any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new person. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I had a new spirit. So all that cursing and stuff that was coming out was spirit. It was coming out of my spirit. And so it was removed. So we always give people an opportunity to accept Christ, become a new person in Christ. And that's the most important thing, right? So if there's anybody here today, just say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And we thank you that he came to redeem mankind. And Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior, and I confess you as my Savior. And I believe that you were raised from the dead when sin was paid for. And so now I ask you to come into my heart, make something new of me, and I will serve you the rest of my days, and I confess that I'm saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, then you became born again. You became a brand new person in Christ. May not have felt anything, but the Word of God says you did. And so if you're here today, we'll give you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. Praise God.